Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast.
This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and what we are doing here is ending eating disorders using nothing but our own brains. What an idea! And it has been so fun to see hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to be completely free after years of struggle, after trying everything to finally do what works to just change our brains so that we don't have to struggle anymore, so we can be normal eaters. And thank you guys for being here. It is wonderful sharing and celebrating with you. And we have an incredible woman to celebrate today. She is just so powerful and intuitive and fun and creative and just so many great things. And it's so fun to have her as a free woman in the world, being able to live life how she wants to, and just excited to celebrate her story with you guys. So you guys, we have on the show today, Ashley, welcome. So good to see you are here. So glad you are here. So let's just launch in and let's get to know you a little. I mean, I know you, but like for those watching, let's have them get to know you. Tell us a little bit about how things started out for you, like a little bit of your history, origin story of how all this food stuff started.
Yeah, so it's been a long time, probably since I was little. I liked to, my whole family, we love food. And it's a lovely thing to love food. And it wasn't until like middle school I realized that I don't look like the other girls. I am 6'2", so I'm really tall, and was a little bigger than the rest of the girls. I was overweight. And to society standards, I started realizing, like, I don't look like the other girls, and was very aware in middle school that I was bigger than everybody else. And then I also was, like, really into sports, and I had a coach approach me and say, you know, you're really smart and you're really good at volleyball. We just need to get you a little more toned up, a little more trim to make you faster. I'd like you to join track. And my eighth grade brain took that as, you need to get as skinny as possible, as fast as possible. So then ensued, I guess, probably a year of just like not eating. I just didn't eat. I think I lost like 95 pounds, which was quite a bit on my 6 foot tall body. Wow. And I was running all the time and working out and doing two-a-day volleyball practices, and it was probably a little, maybe 2 years into that I experienced my first binge at a volleyball tournament. Somebody brought like these really delicious cinnamon bagels, and I just like realized, like, I'm hungry. I'm hungry and I want these. And I ate probably, I don't know, 6 or 8 bagels across like a day long tournament. And just like, it was so weird for me because I was always like felt really in control of food. And then to have that was like my first experience binging. And it wasn't like, I didn't like binge consecutively from there. There was like still space between, but then I would like binge and restrict. I was still really good at restricting though at that time. So that pattern happened probably up through my senior year of high school. I was still really good at restricting. So like I didn't, like my body didn't change much. And then my freshman year of college, the pattern continued. I had a coach who was obsessed with my weight, and would email me to remind me, like, you need to run. If you've gained 3 pounds this week, you need to run extra. You need to be working out. Because I had put on, I went from a freshman in high school to a freshman in college, and I got curves and I put on some weight, and, just the world didn't like that, I guess. So, that's probably also, I kind of lost my identity as an athlete or a volleyball player, that year of college, and was just kind of struggling. And that's probably when binging took over. Like, I was not as good as at restricting anymore, because I kind of lost my reason to restrict, which was volleyball. And so binging kind of just took over. And the next 3 years, I binged a lot. I lived by myself. And I remember going out to eat with my parents. They came to visit me. And they took me out to eat, and I remember going out to eat and being like, oh man, I just ate so much greasy food. Like, this is so bad. Like, I'm such a bad person. I just ate so much greasy food. And then I went home, and since I had already screwed up my diet, I ate like a 9x9 pan of lasagna, and I ate until I physically threw up. And that was kind of the first time where I was like, this isn't normal. Like, there's something wrong with me. Like, this is not normal.
Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah,
such an incredible story. And I love, like, you're sharing in this. And I just want to bring awareness to a couple things here. So, first, PSA to all sports coaches. Not helpful. I'll just say that. Like, just, okay, so, announcement. And then the other thing, just to bring to our awareness, which is such a common thing, is like you said, like, you were good at restricting, right? Like, you had the motivation, you were young, you were good at restricting. And so I just want you guys to know, like, mark my words, no matter how good you are at restricting, it never stays a skill that you can maintain. Either, like you said, like, your motivation went away, or just physically your body will not let you do it. Or you'll do it and nothing will happen. What used to have you lose 95 pounds is something that you just keep gaining weight when you're restricting. Like, your body, your mind will fight back because it's designed to keep you alive. So I just want to bring that to our awareness as well. And it's a really common pattern. And then, like, that moment, although I'm sure that was a dark place of like, whoa, something's wrong with her. Like, tell us what happened from there of just, like, you know, being at a place where you're like physically making yourself ill from the binging, like, What happened after that?
That is when I sought out counseling for, it was kind of, binge eating disorder was not like a recognized eating disorder at the time. So I sought out counseling, but it didn't really help. And then I also started working for a woman who was a vegan raw foodist. And I got onto that bandwagon. So it kind of shifted from like, okay, I'm gonna restrict now, not just to lose weight, but because I want perfect health. Like, I never want to have an illness. I never want to have disease. I want perfect health. And that was probably my worst year ever of binging. Like, ever. Because now, like, I felt guilt, like, oh my gosh, I'm not only gaining weight, but like, now I'm killing myself by eating a French fry, or like it just felt really heavy. And then I graduated college. And in this also, I had a shift of faith. Throughout college, I was an atheist, and I became a Christian. And I would say the binging kind of, it waned a little bit in like the new gained faith. But probably a year into it, I began binging again and restricting. And then not only did I feel like I'm ruining my health, but now like I'm also sinning, or like creating a barrier, like I'm enslaved to something. And I knew that's not how I was like supposed to be. I again sought out counseling, and like we dealt with a lot of like life issues, but the habit of like binging and restricting was still there. It just looked different. Like, it was still there. It's still different.
And so, I mean, something that is a theme, right, that we see, and I love that you're sharing this, is that every time that we restrict, every time we try to do something, right, when we start binging again, we still keep the mentality of the restricting. So, like you said, it's not just like, oh, well, it's not okay to eat because that makes me gain weight. Now it's not okay to eat because any sort of food that isn't on this list is killing me. And now any sort of food that isn't on this list is a sin. And all of a sudden, a French fry is now a weight gaining, evil, killing machine. Like, the meaning that we attach to it just keeps getting like heavier and heavier and heavier. And it gets worse and worse. So, and like you said, like, you know, you're doing what's natural. Like, we want to feel better. And so we seek something out, right? Like, okay, well, I'll sort out my trauma. I'll sort out my problems. I'll go to counseling or, you know, whatever it is. And we do, like, things get better in one part of our life that we're focusing on, and the binging keeps getting worse and still continuing. So, okay. There's just so much amazing stuff in your story. So Ashley, what happened next?
So I had a child, and that just put another layer on top of it, and I got married. So, like, I always like to say marriage and family, it's like a wonderful mirror. Like, you can see the lovely things about yourself, and you can also see how much your habits are damaging as well. So getting married, it just kind of – like, my husband never placed judgment on me or, like, said anything. I even knew, like, I just straight up said, like, don't ever let me do a crazy diet again, because I got to a point of, like, I knew this wasn't going to work. I would put so much mental energy into, like, creating the perfect meal plan and counting all my macros and doing all of these different diets and, like, investing so much money into these different diets and, like, I no longer wanted to, like, waste money on diets because I had a family and there's so many other better ways to use money. And I didn't want to use the mental energy. I'd gotten to a point where, like, literally every food that I ate caused me anxiety. Like, a year ago, it was a year into a marriage, and I had a full-blown anxiety attack that I thought I was going to die. Like, I thought I was having a heart attack. And, it was because, like, I had just started again another diet, and I had just gotten to the point that everything, like, I could eat a full-on vegetable salad, like, all the vegetables, and I would be like, oh, I just ate too much kale, and now my thyroid is dying, or, like, just, there was, I had done so many diets that, like, no good, healthy food was good enough. Like, it just, there was so much anxiety.
Yeah, like, just this incredibly impossible standard that just keeps getting bigger, for like literal anxiety attacks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And then it means all of this, right? Oh, but now I'm a mother and I'm a wife and I'm all these things. And so it's like, and now it's not just a big deal for you. Now it's a big deal for everyone and everything. And, like, is that just exhausting?
Yes. Yeah. I was exhausted.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Perfect word.
What would you say were some of the hardest parts of what was happening with the binge eating and the restricting and how you were feeling? Like, what parts of your life did it really damage the most?
I think I was pretty, I mean, I was pretty honest with my husband about having a problem with this. But, like, I'm a really, I'd like to think of myself as, like, a smart and strong person. So the fact that I couldn't just, like, get a hold of this and, like, be done with it. Like, I couldn't just wrap my head around it. I would have these big revelations, but then somehow I'd always get sucked back into restricting. It would always start sucking back in with restricting. Like, so I wouldn't, I don't know, I don't want to say, like, my relationship with my husband was strained, but it wasn't strained, but I can't say that he fully knew me. Because I would still binge, and my binges had changed from, like, it wasn't when I would go be by myself anymore, because I have a family now. There's not a lot of alone time. But it would look like eating a whole bag of chips in the car on the way home from work, or and then like hiding it or trying to justify it. And then also like the fear that my son would pick up on like bad habits, like the fear of like, oh, my son is getting older. He's going to see how I'm eating and he's going to want to do the same thing. That was another fear, and just like spiritually straining. I just felt, I felt like God was like withholding from me, like withholding freedom from me, which I know now is totally not true. So there was just like all sorts of strains, financial strains, because with every binge, there's a financial cost to the food. I had this huge fear around if I ever did have a medical problem, that they would just look at me and say like, oh, you just need to lose weight. If, even if it's like a real legitimate medical problem, just all of these weird anxieties, and they're not weird. Like, I know people have them, but that's what was kind of running my life.
Yeah. And like you said, like you are, and I mean, you are an incredibly smart and capable and strong person. And I know like that feeling of you start questioning who you are, right? You're like, why can I do everything else? And then with this thing, I can't get a hold of it. Like I can't wrap my head around it. And no matter how hard we're working and how hard we try, because like as smart, capable people, we work really hard, right? It's like, yeah, I'm doing everything. And for it to still just, you know, continue to get worse, like, yeah, that's awful. Anything else that you want to share that's on your mind that was sort of a piece of life with an eating disorder?
I think that there's no shortage of like mental capacity that planning your diets and planning your binges would take up. I have a demanding job. I have a mentally demanding job. And between that and like restricting or binging, I had not very much, I didn't have anything left to like give my family at the end of the day. Like my brain was just tapped out. And I would be snappy toward them because like, it was just like everything was a burden. Like everything good in my life, all the gifts I had been given turned into burdens because like there was this one thing that I couldn't figure out and I was like obsessed with figuring it out. So the mental strain is no joke.
Yeah. Preach. Yeah, exactly. That is exactly it. Oh, and I know like that feeling, like I remember feeling huge guilt from like wonderful things in my life that I resented. Like I would resent my little girl wanting me to play with her because like this was my time to binge. Or like I would resent like going out and having a romantic evening with a person that I loved because like it was gonna mess up my food plan, you know? Like it's just, and then I would feel such incredible guilt that I felt bad about those things because I knew, I could see what was happening. Like this isn't okay. This isn't how I wanna feel. But nonetheless, right. Like that's life.
Yes.
Yeah. So that is hard and it's no fun and freedom is possible. And I'm super excited to celebrate with you. So, I mean, like we have been working together. It has been amazing to see the way that you have just shown up and done the work. And what would you say is like, are some of the best parts of being free? Like what does freedom mean to you and how are you seeing that in your life?
It's just so light. Like there is a lightness to my life. Just of being able to be present with people, be present with situations, be present at work. Like I'm present. I don't have this giant list of food demands to me that's always running through my mind. The thought of like, I did this, like this happened, like I am free. I'm free. And it's okay to be free. Like, it's okay I always thought like, oh, I needed to lose weight and then I could take care of this. But like, no, it's okay to be free and be free at this size. Like, that's totally fine. I don't owe anybody my freedom. I owe nobody my freedom. So, that's been a huge revelation, I guess, through the program. And then just like knowing that I always used to think that if I got something good or like received something good, or like worked on myself and took the time to work on myself, that it always had to have a purpose. Like I had to know the purpose of it prior to even doing the work. So like, how is this going to benefit the world, before even doing the work? And I always thought it was like bad just to do something just for yourself. And that was a big thing that happened as well during the program of like, I put in the work and like I've been working on myself and just me becoming a better person, me becoming a better me and being a free me, that is enough. That's enough. Like, I don't need to have some big grand plan on how I'm going to go save the rest of the world so that I can be free. Like, I can just be free. So just knowing that is awesome. That's freeing.
Yes, it's so good. It's so good. I love that. I love that. And just like talking about like stepping into your power, right? Like going mm-hmm. from a place where like kale gives you an anxiety attack to like, you know what? Like I can be free for me because that's enough. And I don't owe anyone my freedom. Like those are very different dynamics.
Yes.
And, like what is different in your life because of that dynamic? Like now that you can step into that power and step into your freedom, like what changes for you?
I just feel like anything is possible at this point. Like, I don't know how me being free is going to like change the world, but like just, I enjoy food. Like my husband and I, we love to cook. We love to cook, and like feeding people meals and giving people meals is like one of our favorite things to do. It's like one of our favorite ways to love people. And just being able to be in a group of people and enjoy food and not be sitting there thinking like, oh, do they think that I've eaten too much? Oh my gosh, look how little that person has eaten. Maybe that's how I'm supposed to eat. And like that used to consume my brain in any social setting where there was food, and now it doesn't. And I can just engage in conversation and be there. And just eating with my son and not ever having to, like, I know that my son will not ever hear me say like, oh my gosh, I'm so fat and this is so degrading. Like, I know that my son will never hear me say that. Like, I may have fat on my body, but I won't ever use it in a degrading way because it doesn't need to be. Like, it's just an adjective, like short, tall, they're all adjectives. So, and it doesn't like add value to your life or like take away value from somebody. So I think about the different ways that my son will benefit from me being free. And it doesn't even have that much to do with food. It just has to do with like our way of thinking. So I don't know all of the ways yet that it's benefited me or like impacted, me, but those are the things that I'm seeing right now.
That is beautiful because like that's who his mom is. Like mm-hmm. his mom is a powerful, conquering, can do things, is free. Like that's who you are. And one thing that I think is so cool is like our children are much more likely to become who we are than to become the people who we try to raise them to be. You know what I mean? Like they're just going to be us, essentially. So being able to be in a place where like you are someone that you are proud of in the actions that you take and the things that you do, like that is a really cool and powerful thing. And one thing I wanted to note, Ashley, is just like with the way that you love people, like you said, like that is a way that I love people, is to cook for them and to feed them. And like, I love being able to get back in touch with how we love people, how we want to live life without the judgment of like, oh, can I do that because, well, there's this circumstance, right? Like, just right. Like, that's how I love people. And I can step into that. And that is just such a fun thing. What else is just, like, on your mind with, like, what freedom is now? Like, what else is different? What else is wonderful?
Just things just seem so much more simple. Like, the things that you've taught us, what I've learned, it's not just applicable to food. Like, I feel like I'm so far past, like, getting over binging. And it's only been 10 weeks now since I started the program. And, like, sometimes I'll have things come up where, like, the idea of binging will pop into my brain. And I just think it sounds silly now. But there's other things in my life, like, that the principles that we learn can be applied to, like when things are stressful at work, oh, what's stressful? Like how can I use these principles to, figure out what's coming up at work? Or like whenever I'm feeling a little like panicky, I know now, like, okay, there's something back here. We can call out the chatter, and try to get to the root of like, where are the thoughts going wrong here? Like, and I don't even say going wrong, but just like, what thoughts do I have in my head? Let's say them out loud and see what's going on. Like, so
knowing what to do with all sorts of things, right? And that's something just so fun is like, we're at the end of the day, really who we coach are those who are committed to changing their brain. And a side effect is being done with an eating disorder. Yay. But those principles apply to everything because you live your entire life through your brain. Everything you do starts there. And to be able to know exactly how to manage and be the master of your own life and your own thoughts, like, what does that not apply to? So that is so fun. And I love that you're getting to do that. And so I was curious, I wanted to ask you, Ashley, like, you know, before you knew that what freedom was like nobody starts into this process knowing how it's going to end, right? It's like, we hope that it's going to work and ta-da, it does. But, you know, at the beginning, you don't know that. So like, what fears came up for you? Like before you got started, like what fears came up for you? And then like, why did you decide to like move forward and declare your freedom anyway?
The fear of this may not work. And like, I've already spent so much money on diets and other things that haven't worked. The fear of like, this may not work, or, my life is really, 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 really packed. Like my life felt so, so, so busy, and it is busy. So I was worried that, I wouldn't have the time to dedicate to the program, to be able to get this to work, I guess. I think the biggest fear though is just like, this won't work and then I'll be out money and then I'll be also out time and energy and I'll be like one more step closer to like being hopeless essentially. Like, but I also am like pretty tenacious in that like, no, something's gonna work. Like we're gonna figure this out. Something's gotta work. Like not everybody walks around with an eating disorder, so something has to work. So
beautiful. So like because you know, fear is a very normal thing to come up with any sort of change. Like that's a very natural thing to come up. So with that fear coming up, it's really just about how you react to it, right? So for you, like it sounds like there was sort of that tenacity of like, okay, like something's got to work, right? So what would you say was the thing that made that decision, right? As opposed to doing something else or like, you know, like trying to do things on your own or like, what do you feel in the midst of that fear helped you to choose freedom? And now you have that, but in that moment, what helped you?
I had been trying on my own. I had been watching your YouTube videos for like a year. And I had been doing some other work in the past year. And I could see like glimpses of freedom. And then eventually something would pull me back in to restrict and then binge and start the cycle over. So I had seen glimpses of freedom. And because I had been watching your YouTube videos for a year, I kind of had an idea of what the program was going to entail. And I had seen the success stories from other women. And I just like love all the guests that you have had on. And I had got, I kind of went down a rabbit trail of some of the other guests you had had on. So I've been looking into this for probably a year, but the habit hadn't changed. Like, the binge eating was still there. I was trying on my own, and I trusted you because of the videos that I had been watching. I trusted, like, you know what you're doing. I loved everything you said made sense. So there was a level of trust going into it. And just like, I've seen so many freedom videos from other women that I was like, this is going to work. It's got to work. Gotta work.
Actually, now you are a freedom video. Woo! Yes. So cool.
Full circle.
Yep, full circle. I love it. Thank you for sharing that. And like that experience, like, I mean, you know, fear comes up, obstacles come up. Yeah, of course. And you're still free. And you right. still did what you needed to do to be free. And you were willing to be coachable and you were willing to show up and just be awesome. Like, it's been so fun to have you in the group and giving your insights. And like, you know, we have a really fun time. So it's been so great having you part of that. Anything else that's on your mind for today of just like what you would want to share about your experience, about your story, about what freedom is like?
Like, there's nothing, your freedom is worth everything. That's it. Like, freedom is worth everything. Like, I had no idea just what it would feel like to be so free. Like, it's unexplainable, or like, you can't describe it. It's really hard to describe what freedom feels like when your brain is so set on keeping you where you're at. So it's just so cool to know what I know now. It's just so cool.
Yeah, so cool. I love it. Maybe that'll be the title of our video. So cool.
It is.
So great. Yeah. And you bring up such a great point of like, it's almost like trying to explain like a color that someone's never seen before.
Right.
When people would talk about what freedom was or being a normal eater, I didn't believe them. Like, I thought that they just had more willpower than me, or I thought that, you know, like, there was just something really wrong with me, or, like, I just didn't believe it, and I couldn't really wrap my head around it until I had it. Like, there's still stuff that I'm just like, wow, that's so cool, and, like, you don't even know that you're missing it. You're just sort of, like, trying to keep your head above water. And then on the side of freedom, it's just so different. And yeah, just such a beautiful thing. So I love it. Thank you for sharing your story. It is such amazing celebrating with you. I adore you, Ashley. Like, your journey is just so powerful. And I love your willingness to speak truth. And you're right. Like, your freedom is worth everything. And it takes a decision. Like, it takes that choice. And not everyone makes that choice, and you did. You chose freedom, and I just celebrate you in that. So, you guys, this is so fun to celebrate. Thank you for being here and being part of this experience. And anything else on your mind before we wrap up for today, Ashley?
I think that's all. All right. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Oh, thank you. Love it. I appreciate that. And this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, and Ashley signing off. Mwah.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session. where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on three things. One, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. Two, what isn't working with your approach. And three, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!